Welcome to the Saturday set where we have a smorgasbord of racing around this great punting nation of ours, King Zone. Let's talk it through. We've got the Gong up in Kembla. What have we got? We've got the Meteorite and the Cranbourne Cup. And then over in the Golden West, we've got the Railway and the WA Guineas. Fizzer, exciting times?
Yeah, exciting and looks extremely difficult.
Interesting note to start on, but fair enough, mate. You always call it how you see it.
So. Yeah, I'm not confident this weekend, I've got to say, but okay. There's a lot of races to dissect and there's winners to be had in all of them.
Well, we've got a bet, so that's what we'll do. You're going to have to settle in for a bit of a longer show today because we're doing an Ashes preview.
Uncle Mao's coming in. He studied the form.
He has. He's fired right up. Yeah, you boys walked in and said, oh, yeah, that's right.
I did a solid 2 minutes before I came in for the Ashes, so we'll
But Uncle Mao's ready to go. This is his moment, so he's really treating it like that, isn't he?
He's ready to go. Yeah. He loves his cricket.
You're very subdued. You okay? Everything all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's just been a bit flat this week. Need to lift a bit of carnival hangover. Yeah,
post-carnival
I push
blues.
Myself. Every day I've worked long hours, but I'm pushing myself to work them. So when you don't feel like working, you still got to do it. So
Here we go.
Get through.
Let's get to work. Let's go to Cranbourne and let's go and look at the Meteorite for 2025. No replays, but we'll bring the market up and remind ourselves, of course, Nadal won it last year, absolutely bolted in. You remember Barraquil, I think, was favourite. And looked like I was going to win. And then Nadal just put in an incredible sectional. Strong field, million-dollar slot race. What are we going to do, King Zone?
Well, it's hard. Nadal not going as good this year as last. Couldn't really be on Nadal. I think this is extremely hard race. I'll just talk about the horses that I could be on. And there's only two of them that I could be on. I don't particularly want to bet in this race. But I had hedged favourite in this race. Gets a lovely map behind Jigsaw and Zoo Sensation will both go forward. I think sit first and second, put on a decent tempo. I think Jamie Mott from Barrier 3 just sits behind them, hedge and gets the lovely run in the race, coming into this race with the highest last start rating
right.
On a seven-day backup. The last run was over 1,100 metres, going to 1,200, which suits hedged as well a little bit. I thought it was a little bit disappointing though last time behind
your horse,
the horse that I declared that
Beast
got
mode.
A stitch at the 200.
Well, it wasn't behind it; it was actually in front of it.
Yeah,
struggle to go third. Past it though. I thought. Did you think Hedge was a little bit disappointing?
Yeah,
not as disappointing
I do,
as Beast Mode, but
yeah, I didn't think either of them were any good. We were pretty disappointed in Beast Mode,
and then of course, obviously, came down.
So
the
I was a bit. I was quite,
and Hedge was a big go that day too.
Hedge was very well backed. Yeah. So I was a bit surprised to see Hedge coming up as the top rater in this race. Have got Hedge priced shorter than 440. Not a lot shorter, but it's a horse that I think has got a bit. The reason I like Hedge, seven-day backup and gets a lovely map and has good figures as well. So that was sort of my pick in the race. There's another horse in this race that isn't on the screen. Oh, it is down the bottom there, Beauty Charge at $23. Drawn out wide in Barrier 14. This is a very interesting horse. That came over, Matthew Smith's got this horse, came over from Hong Kong, ran last start behind Rothfire, missed the kick about 10 lengths, just didn't come out of the barriers at all. This horse has got a bit of ability. Since that was about a month ago, that Rothfire race. Since that, has come out and won a trial. Watch this horse, got a bit of a, as I said, it's got quite a bit of ability. I think you'll get 25-1 about Beauty Charge. And if you are betting in the race, throw something on Beauty Charge because if the Beauty can jump, it's going to be in the finish, I do think. What do you think of this, Fitz?
Well, yeah, I was like you. My numbers came out 8 hedged from Zoo Sensation, the 5, Jigsaw and Arkansas Kid. I looked at this race pretty hard and tough. All 4 of those get good runs in transit. I do think Jigsaw is a massive price for a horse that's
gets
at Airborne, loves Cranbourne, will get the lead by itself. And
it's been a leader's track too, isn't it?
Yeah, Cranbourne? I think it's a massive price at $9. And I think Arkansas Kids run a trial was all right as well. So, look, I was looking to bet around the top 2 in the market if I was going to bet. I'm not doing it. I didn't look at Beauty Charges Run King. It's interesting to hear you say that it missed the jump by that far and then has had a
10.
Trial in between. So, obviously, that wouldn't pop up on the ratings. Because you're not going to see that. It'll just get rated really poorly. So not a race I want to bet in, but Jigsaw looks a big price.
From a from an odds point of view, I thought Arkansas Kid seemed about the right odds. I thought Jigsaw would firm. I thought Zeus Sensation would drift, and I think Hedge will be very solid.
Great way to finish. Let's go up to Kembla. We're going to go to the Gong. Let's go and look at Gringotts in the big dance. He's the best horse racing anywhere in Australia on Saturday. He was way too good for this field. He's about to burst through now in the Aussie Kerr colours. Of course, he won the George Ryder, which is a group
Have a look
one.
At Tabby Time just behind him, number seven. Okay. Is it number three, sorry, just behind him. Can't get out and flushes home now, for sixth. Yes.
Okay, very good. So there's Gringotts winning. Let's bring the market up. You're going to see he dominates this race. I'll hand over to you. Away you go, Kingzone.
Yeah, it was eighth Tabby Time ran in that race. Never got clear the whole way down the straight there and should have finished a lot closer. I'll get to Tabby Time in a sec. Let's talk about Gringotts. One, so it's coming through the same path as last year. Won the big dance last year, won the Gong last year. The rating in that big dance in 2025 is 3 points higher than what it was in 2024. So that's Gringotts ratings-wise is going better this year than what he was last year. Gringotts as well has won, so it's won 3 from 12 races first or second up and has won 8 from 12 races third or more up. So improves as into the prep.
Yes.
Carried 60 kilos winning. It's got a lot of weight there obviously, which I'm against horses in high class races that do carry weight.
Yes.
Gringotts I think deserves to be carrying this amount of weight. Carried it last year.
Carried it 1 kilo extra when it won last start.
Last start. Yeah. You carried 60 in this race and carried 1 kilo. So actually drops a kilo in this race. So everything is pointing towards Gringotts running a good race that I can see, except I think the price is short. Fitz, I'm interested to hear what you say about Gringotts.
Yeah, I do have Gringotts top pick, which is pretty obvious for people, but not clear by any means. I think Gringotts is one to beat, but had everything go in its way. Like it all depends on how you look at races, and everything fell into place for Gringotts last start. It got out when it needed to get out. It's now drawn 7. It was getting a suck run on the inside last start. The map isn't as good for Gringotts, and it'll need a little bit more luck. So, yeah, Kings, Gringotts, great chance, but at 220, I can see why. I've got a feeling you're going to lean away from it. I'll talk about other runners later.
Yeah, mainly from the price, mainly from the weight as well. I know that Gringotts just carried 62. I know I carried 60 last year. But this horse that we just saw then, Tavi Time, who is drawn out in 15, there's a fair bit of pace in this race. Gringotts, I went and watched the replay of the Gong last year. Gringotts led the whole way. Looked like it was going to get beat at the 200 and then found on pace. I don't know if Gringotts sits sort of fifth or sixth or seventh with that weight, is he going to have the sprint sort of that he had last year to hold him on? I'm certainly not saying Gringotts can't win. I just think he's price a bit related. Short. Yeah. So Tavi Time in that race as well. So Tavi Time drops to 53.5 after carrying 57 in the big dance and should have – I'm not saying Tavi Time should have won, but should have got closer to Gringotts. Should have run a place, I think, in that race. Never got clear. There's going to be a lot of pace on her, like two horses that are going to fly down the middle. One's Tavi Time, reason being, drops in weight 3.5 kilos. 1,600 suits Tavi Time, drawn out wide, going to get clear running down the middle of the track at Kembla, which you like. If you go and watch last year in a lot of Kembla races, they get off the fence and charge down the middle. So I think you have to be a strong 1,600-meter horse to be winning this race. So I think Tavi Time actually, even though it's drawn out in 15, maps pretty well. The other horse that I want to talk about is number 3, Estadio Mestalla, who I was against last time over 1,300 metres 7 days ago in the Newcastle race that was won by Coal Crusher. So Estadio Mestalla can't draw a barrier. 11, then 16, and is now drawn out in barrier 18. So he's going to go back in this race, but Joe Pride's absolutely on fire. I think this horse has got improvement up to 1,600 metres. On a 7-day backup, he's ready to peak. Won a race this time last year, a benchmark 88, that actually Tavi Time ran third in, at Kembla over 1,600 metres as well. Those are the two horses that I think have improvement in them. Those are the two horses that I think are a better price, and those are the two horses that are official Saturday set tips.
Exciting stuff. Fizz.
Yeah, not a lot I can add because I think Kings has identified the two of the two real dangers to the favourite Gringotts. Like Gringotts is a class animal. We both agree with that.
Yep.
We both agree the price looks a bit short. The only one I'll throw in is number four, New Endeavour. Second up record's pretty good. It's $26 shots. Gabe Waterhouse runner ran in the Flemington Carnival. Sort of given none in Flemington. It was back and wide. Came home in the manifold and draws well in two this time. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a big race from number four, New Endeavour. That's the only thing I can add to it. Tavi Time, Estadio, Mistala. Both very good chances. Estadio hit the line like a rocket last start after winning first up 1,100 when it was very unexpected, a big price. So I think 1,600 will suit and the big track at Kembla will suit. Kings has found some good ones there.
What about the Duke, the Caulfield Cup winner?
The Duke chance the Duke goes well for first up.
Yep.
Duke's not out of it.
Yeah, well, he won first up or something like that over the similar distance. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was at Caulfield, might have been back in the autumn.
Yep.
All right, let's move to the Golden West. And we're going to go and look at a star on the rise in the WA Guineas. Let's go back and watch the Faritha. And we've got King of Light. He's been highlighted there in the light blue cap. So he's got a lot of work to do. He's dominant favourite on this day and he wins like a good horse, really.
So first, second and third are in this race that you're about to show the market.
First, second, third and fourth are all in it.
There you go. So first they go past the post. Faritha. Let's bring the market up. Maybe we'll start with Fizzer. You're the WA man.
Yeah, look, he got me on the line. I was on He's a Phoenix last start, who was run down over 1,400 when went about three lengths quicker than standard in front for that race. So all credit to He's a Phoenix. We'll get the lead by itself. We'll be the one they have to gun down. And look, King of Light had everything fall into place there. King of Light scooted up the inside. The heavens parted like Pike seems to have unless I'm on him. So look, and Rockfest did exactly the same as King of Light and scooted through from the tail. He was one back. He was right behind King of Light, went through the same gap and they both hit the line really nicely. Like I think the market tells a story. I do think that the top end of the market will dictate who wins this race. The top three in the market will be one of those will win. I thought Medusa was a bit of value at $19, but the barrier probably scares you off it. And a notable mention to Bethelezi, is that, I don't know how you say it, and Samtown Lucky, both all right horses, but might meet horses that are a little bit better in this. I don't have a strong opinion. King of Light's had every bit of luck go its way. If luck doesn't go its way, maybe Rockfest launches down the outside. And if they leave He's a Phoenix in loan, I think it's the value at $8.
Thank you very much. Kingzone.
Yeah, I concur. I think the only thing I'll say here is King of Light's drawn barrier four and Rockfest is drawn barrier eight. So King of Light's going to be in front of Rockfest and I really struggle unless – I struggle to see King of Light being run down by Rockfest unless there's bad luck.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was flashing home, but King of Light sprinted just as well as what Rockfest did there. And I just can't see Rockfest getting over the top of King of Light. Unless there's bad luck. He's a Phoenix, I think. I think, as Fitz said, if there's bad luck back in the pack or get slow sectionals in front, I know to the eye, 1,400 to 1,600, you'd say, well, you know, couldn't win at 1,400, probably can't at 1,600, but sometimes it doesn't
first
work.
Up 1,400 doesn't, and, it doesn't and run work. It pretty quick. So I'm saying fit a second up. And, yeah, I think it's a value, I've got to say. Yeah. He's a Phoenix, the value sort of in this race.
Doesn't really work out that sometimes. And started, I've written the SPs down from last time. It was $1.80 Rock a Light. He's a Phoenix, $5.50 and $11 Rock Fest. So what do I think? I think He's a Phoenix is probably valued around $8. I think King of Light will be really well backed as well. And I think Rock Fest will drift in the market.
Fantastic. Let's move on to the big one of the day, the Group 1 Railway Stakes. We're going to go back and look at the Asian Bow Stakes. Watch Me Rock gets into a bit of a dogfight with Cosmic Crusader. Prevails, rope them in, comes down the outside. Of course, we're going to have Western Empire in the railway as well, which isn't in this race. They go to the line. And Fizz, you and I have been chatting a bit about this race during the week. And the strongest indication here, you believe, is that William Pike could have ridden either Western Empire or Watch Me Rock, and he's gone with Watch Me Rock.
That's right.
And you want to stick with him because of that, yeah?
Yeah, and look, I haven't – we had to do this pre – we had to send out a tip yesterday pre. Yep. It was just I think it's the horse to beat. Watch Me Rock. Do I think $3.40 in a massive railway when they're all very evenly matched is any value? No, I don't. So I wouldn't be steering anyone to jump in there early. I'll talk about it. I'll presume the reserves are coming out, right? So it takes out Cosmic Crusader and anything. I think it's 18, 19, 20, 21 or whatever it is. So you presume the reserves are out. And based on that, I think big unders number one, Western Empire. Sorry, Kev, but I don't know how Western Empire is going to get the right run from gate one. The more I look at it, the more it's jammed back on the inside in a massive field. And
sure,
you're just going to need so much luck. Extreme amount of luck. For a $4 shot to be jammed back on the inside, it just seems massive unders for me. So I got the speed coming from a few runners. The perfect runs in the race, Diamond Scene, Watch Me Rock, and then you and In Good Order. Three horses I think get really, really good runs in this race. I have Diamond Scene top pick off my ratings. Diamond Scene knocked off Watch Me Rock first up. First up 1,400 metres, sat outside the lead and outfought it. Watch Me Rock possibly should have won that day. I was on it, didn't get out. There's not much between these. They bet $17 into $9 Diamond Scene this morning, so I reckon that you're going to find it's about $9 now in the market, okay. Not $15. Someone smart's had a dip because it firmed really big in one go. I think it's value, Diamond Scene. It's going to get a really, really good run. The stable's on fire, and I think it's a really good hope.
Was it you who knocked it off, was it?
I didn't get on. I just watched it firm in front of my eyes at 7.59 really? This morning. And it just
over went. Your cornflakes, eh?
Look, the horses coming from interstate, I'm not really sold on them. Ossipenko had its miracle win last start. I'm not really. It is Waller, but Barrier 17, leave me out. Depth of Character, really unlucky last start when it ran fourth. But Gate 20, it's a lightweight, it's a chance. But, Jesus, at Gate 20, I want to let that one go as well. And there's another one, Iona Merck. I just don't think it's going good enough to win this race. So I'm leaning towards the WA form more than anything from interstate. I thought the value was the eight, and I thought 12 was second pick. Watch Me Rock. I did have a roughie, if anyone wants to know. Number 11, Sentimental Hero. It's got a bit of Kalgoorlie form. Don't be surprised if this horse is whacking away at the death. It's coming back from 2,300 to 1,600.
Yep.
But you just never know.
Great summation. Thank you, sir. Kingzone, what you got to add?
This race just really confuses me. It's just so
it's hard.
It's just really hard. It's not a race I want to bet in. If I had to tip anything, well, I actually want to back. If I was going to bet, which won't get a run, I was going to have something on number 20, Cosmic Crusader. But I can't imagine it's going to get a run. Fitz summed it up beautifully. I'm tipping number 12, Watch Me Rock, but I don't think he's any value at all. And I agree about Western Empire needing a lot of luck. Got a chance, but $4 is unders. And there's nothing really in the race that I'm heavily for or heavily against. So I'll just shut up and stop talking.
Very good. We're going to move on. We've got a bit of housekeeping to get through before we move to the boys' Saturday sets. Mates Mode Pot this week. I'm excited. It's going to be a real big one. This is actually the last Australian horse racing Mates Mode Pot of the year.
Make it a good one.
I will. We had it wiped out Cox Plate Day. We copped a little bit of criticism. I said, just trust the process. We trusted the process during Cup Week. We absolutely shot the lights out. And so once beautiful. Again, we're going to trust the process this week. Doesn't mean we'll win, but we'll just go through the motions. It's always a lot of fun. So jump on to the Ladbrokes app, into the Mates Mode section. Up the den, 25 is the code. You all know how to do all that. I'll put all the bets up on the app and the website. I'm going to get to work straight after we finish this show. What's next? Caulfield tickets. So not this Saturday, the Saturday after. You've got Zipping Classic and another few other nice supporting races. If you want to go out there for free, because of our friends at the Melbourne Racing Club, hit the link in the description. You can go for free. And I think we're going to be sweet next year. All the biggest races at Caulfield next year.
Yes.
Wolf Den Saturday set viewers will get free tickets. How good. Beautiful. That's not a guarantee, but I reckon that's what's going to happen. So beautiful. It's very, very nice of them, and makes a difference. Like, it's quite expensive, you know. So,
great day out.
Yeah, yeah. Next thing, Greyhound Racing New South Wales asked us to give a shout out to their Evening with the Stars. There it is up on there, King Zone. Up in Newcastle.
Who are the stars? Talk me through the stars.
Mark Hughes, Billy Peden, Glenn Pallister, Fletcher Sharp.
Beautiful.
It's all happening. Put on by the Mark Hughes Foundation.
What a good night out.
Yeah, and there's also, they're running a raffle to win a mate's, or a, you call it a boys' trip or a girls' trip or whoever trip to the NRL opener in Las Vegas.
Oh, how good would that be? I love a good night on the drink up at Newey.
Yeah, so I'll put the links to all that stuff in the description. If you're in the Newcastle area and want to go along, great cause to support. And now we just got, this is a bit of a hark back to the old Wild Web of sports days. Yeah. We've got a sweet, not sweet, which was put in by the producers. So there it is. We're sweet or not sweet? Do we need to do we need to reveal the person's identity, or is it irrelevant who it is? So there it is.
Stewie, you legend.
Stewie, he's done it. Good luck to him. And I guess the question is, sweet, not sweet? I'm sweet. You sweet or not sweet?
Well, I'm not sweet on my body. No, I would never put horse's colours. Even if I won the Melbourne Cup, I'm not tattooing a horse's colours on my body. So I'm saying not sweet, but what a legend. Good work, but Stewie.
You think it's missing one thing, the price.
The odds he took, yeah, I'll put that on the den.
Needs to have, yeah. So needs to say price like 15, carrying rising, yeah. $15.
Not the dollar amount he had on it, just the odds he took.
The
fluctuations, 15 into 11, and he could go all the way up his leg to his ass with 15, 11, 10, 9 until he'd get to $1.80.
I like that. So like, you know, people have story tattoos. Yeah.
The odds can get smaller as they go up.
Oh, sweet or not sweet, Fizz?
I wouldn't do it. On you, Stu, you legend. Well done.
Trill Mitt, editor extraordinaire. Sweet, not sweet. You're a not sweet? Okay.
So what are you going to get? You're sweet with it? What horse's colours would you get tattooed on your leg?
Suspect.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, shit. No, Annie Sue, mate. Annie Sue is way better to you than Annie.
Remember that? What was it? $9 into $2.50.
Annie Sue.
That didn't work out very well for you.
No, I laid it.
Let's move on to the boys' official Saturday sets. Go Kings.
Yeah. My official Saturday set is this. Kembla Race 8, The Gong, numbers 3 and 13, which we talked about. Them going to down south Cranbourne. I think this horse is massive price at the moment. You can get about $9. I think it'll start a lot shorter than that. Race 5, number 4, Yes, I Know. Had four jump outs leading this 1-2. Only had three race starts and 1-2. So the figures there, Anthony and Sam Friedman, train, in form, looks big, big odds. Now we're going up. I found a first starter up at the Sunny Coast. Ooh. Race 1, Boots. Won a trial by about 8. Showed very, very good early pace. Eased down on the line. Stewie Kendrick got a great record with 2-year-olds as well. I think it's around the $3 mark at the moment, and I think looks good value for a first starter.
Thank you very much, sir. Fizzy, can I get your official Saturday set?
Yeah, very tough weekend for me, boys. I really, really struggled this morning to find any outstanding bets, but Ascot Race 6, number 5, Cosmic Crusader. King's talked to you what it'd like to back it in the railway. Well, guess what? I don't think it'll race there, and the race it's in, I think it'll win. So I'm going to back it. I'm going to one, a bit of a specky, Ascot Race 10, number 8, Nobility. This horse's first up doesn't have a great first up record. It hasn't had a trial, so unfortunately we've got no guide there, but it's gone up about $18, and it'll go straight to the front, this horse. And you know what? I'll give it a good chance this weekend.
Won't be $18 for long, I reckon.
Fingers crossed. And then we'll go to Sunshine Coast Race 6, number 6, Band of Brothers. Running really well this prep. Had to chase a few speedy ones of late, but steps up in trip, and I think it'll be hard to beat. And then I found one in Morphettville, Race 6, number 9, Hard Prince. It's a hard one to catch, Hard Prince, but if you just look at the run last start when the leaders skipped away and won, Dual Pressure is the favourite in the race. It was behind Dual Pressure. Goes up 50 metres. There's plenty of pressure in this race up front. Hard Prince will be dropping in weight. And just got going last start after the post, and I reckon it's time to get on. So
outstanding.
That's how I found it.
Fitz Cosmic's Crusader, I didn't notice it. Was there a market up yet?
Yeah, $1.80 into $1.75.
I just looked at the big races in Perth. I wonder if I don't know whether I like it.
Yeah, but it was up. It was up.
I probably do.
Yeah, they're up yesterday, and the tab ended up going 190 for a fraction of a second, and then rolled it back into 180. I think it's skinny 180 right now.
Very good.
All right, boys, I'm excited for this. Let's bring this young bloke in and have our Ashes preview. Give him a chance under the big lights. Let's bring in Uncle Mal. Smile. You ready, mate?
Yeah,
big moment.
Ready. I could talk about cricket all day. You know me, I'm a real cricket nuffy, so big moment for me.
Cool. So you're going to give us a bit of background. We're going to have a little bit of talk about team lists, a few players to watch, that kind of stuff. A bit of controversy about it starting in Perth. And then we're also going to throw out a few bets, Lex, because obviously this is a betting show. So we're going to talk about your boys' tips for their first test head-to-head. Then we'll talk about series result.
Definitely betting.
Yep. And then we'll also ask you boys who you think about the overall series leading run scorer and leading wicket taker. And give people something to play with. Good long-range bets to follow the whole way through the summer.
Exciting.
Let's get into it. Where are we going to start, Uncle Mal?
Very good. So we kick off in Perth, obviously, with the first test. Now, interesting stat is, all five teams that have batted first have won the games at the Perth Stadium, which is a new Optus Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And the average first inning score is 395. And if you take away the last year's low scoring first innings, which was 150, it's 456. So
do you think the pitch deteriorates a bit over there?
Definitely.
Or?
Yeah, definitely.
So it starts pretty good and then deteriorates.
Because it's so hot.
Yeah.
And the groundsman said last year that he actually got the pitch wrong. So he was probably a day behind on his prep. So that's why it was such a low scoring affair on the first day, where I think both teams got bowled out on the first day pretty much.
Yeah.
And then the second innings, India got about 400 odd. So I think it's bat first and bat big in Perth. And that's sort of the traditional thing in Australia, isn't it, Fitzy?
So the toss is very important.
Yeah, toss is very important. So the England have announced their 12 for the test match, which is Zach Crawley and Ben Duckett opening. They've gone with Ollie Pope at 3, so he's edged out Jacob Bethell. Now, Ollie Pope, for me, I thought was a bit of a weak link for England. He's played 10 tests, I think, or no, 5 tests against Australia, 10 innings, and he averages 15.
Yeah.
And in Australia, averages 11. So he's going to bat 3 for them. So I thought that's where we could sort of expose them early and get into their middle order, which is actually their strength.
Mm.
Joe Root and Harry Brook both average over 50. Harry Brook is a complete freak. He's going to be – I think both of those players are in the top 5 at the moment.
Joe Root's never scored 100 in Australia, so everyone's saying to go to the next level and be regarded as one of the tops, he needs to get the 100 here. So
exactly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I think he's a different player coming over here at the moment. The form he's in has been incredible the last 2 years. He's scored more runs than anyone else in the world. But I think that the real key for England is Harry Brook.
Mm.
If Pope, Duckett and Crawley can apply pressure to Australia's bowlers, which are our strength, and if they can absorb the pressure and get – Brook in a little bit later against the older ball. He averages 57.
Is he batted here? He's never played in Australia.
Yeah, he's played in Australia. Has? Yeah, I think he averaged
last
30.
Series.
Yeah, he was only young though. It was like one of his first series.
Right.
Yeah, so I think he averaged.
So he's come a long way since then.
He's a freak. He's one of the best players in the world. Then you've got Stokes. Jamie Smith is a bit of a wild card. He's their wicketkeeper.
Smithy.
He averages 48 with the bat, so he's a fair player on those numbers. Gus Atkinson, Archer, Brighton Cast, and then
he'll go good. Joffre Archer, doesn't he? Yeah. He's got a bit of pace about him.
Yeah, I think Australia will definitely suit him. Shoaib Bashir, who I thought was a weak link for England, his bowling average, I think he's just a bowler. He's their spinner, but his bowling average is 39 in Test cricket. But against the good teams, I think I've got it written down here, against New Zealand, it's 51.
You want to be on him. You want to be on him for least wicket taker.
Yeah, for sure. Against New Zealand, it's 51. Against India, it's 41. Pakistan, 49. 49 against Sri Lanka. So he's the weak link if we can get through to their bowlers, through their early bowlers, and get through to him. What did you guys think about the England lineup so far? Having a look at
my cricket knowledge isn't as deep as yours, but what I do think is that it's very hard to travel over here. So Australia in the last 10 years have played 47 tests in Australia. They've won 32. They've lost 8 and they've drawn 7. England are a better side now than – so the last 10 years, is this the best England side in the last 10 years sort of thing? Are they at their peak right now, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're a team on the way up. I think they've learnt from their sort of baseball experiment and they've sort of tempered it a little bit.
Yeah.
And they've worked out, you know, the way to play. McCullum, I think, has been really hard on them to, you know, when the ball does move around a bit, they need to find a way. And I think that they sort of have begun to find a way, but it's their bowlers for me, the airspeed. Like, usually when they bring out Anderson and Broad, they average 10 more per wicket against their career average in Australia. So that just because of the way that they bowl, you know, they're a bit slower through the air. But they've got Archer and Wood who are out and out quicks, bowling 150 kilometres an hour. So I think they're more suited, yeah, for sure.
So they've played last 10 years away from home. This is away. They've won 20, lost 31 and drawn 8 as well. So there's not many draws. So the last 10 years in Australia, out of 47 tests, there's been 7 draws. Only one of those draws was not rain affected. So it's 1 out of 47, hasn't been rain affected. But what I do think is that these pitches are going to be a lot more batter friendly. And the reason that I think these pitches are a lot more batter friendly is because it is the Ashes and there's a lot of cash involved in the Ashes. We want to go to day 5. We want to get the TV going. We want to get the crowds in. It all always comes back to money. So I reckon they're going to be instructed to be laying roads. Decks yeah. that are good batter friendly decks, and that's when I start to make some money betting and trading on the cricket.
Well, it's very interesting you say that because I think that would suit England right down to the ground. If they get here and the decks are moving around a bit, they'll struggle. I've even got a quote here. McCullum actually said, he said, when we're confronted with good wickets, like flat wickets, I think we are a very, very good cricket team.
Mm.
And he said, I think we play high octane style cricket and those conditions suit us. when the wickets have a little bit in them, we find it more challenging and we need to find a way. So if they get flat decks,
they have tempered, as you said, they've tempered their baz ball as well. They're bazzing, but they're not full
not
on
completely bazzing.
All right, why don't we move on to the Aussie team? So at time of filming, they haven't named the starting 11.
They haven't named the side, but I'll go with what I think the side will be, which will be Weatherill and Usman Khawaja opening the batting. You've got, I think,
and he's Marnus, debuting, obviously, Weatherill.
He's on debut, I think Marnus will bat three. I think his job this series is to protect Smith from the new ball. And they sent him back to state cricket. He scored 500s in first-class cricket this summer so far. You don't find blokes walking around the street that average 46 and have scored, you know, 10, 12 test centuries.
He's a great batsman.
He's a great player.
Yeah, when he's in form, he's a great batsman.
Smith, obviously, four. Travis Head, five. I think Cameron Green will bat six. He's a very, very good all-rounder.
What about Webster?
No.
I think Green will get in front of Webster.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Webster's been playing great cricket.
He's been playing really good, but I think
got
Cameron
five
Green,
the other day.
I'd pick Webster.
Yeah.
I think Cameron Green is an elite all-rounder, a very, very good all-rounder. He's not a number three, but he's a very good all-rounder. And then you've got the bowlers, Stark, Lyon, Scott Boland, and Brendan Doggett will probably make his debut in
the
Perth.
Dog comes in. So no Hazelwood, no Cummins.
Well, that's going to be our problem in the first test. I think that's where England can win the match, you know, taking on Boland and Doggett. You saw when we were in England, they walked at Boland. They had a plan against him. They took him on. They knocked him off his line and length. So he needs to bounce back from that. And Brendan Doggett, obviously untested, but his first-class record is good. He averages 26 with the ball in first-class cricket. He's taken 190 wickets, so he deserves his opportunity, but obviously untested at this level. And, you know, if they do get flat decks, England might take him down. You never know.
And how big is it that we're missing Cummins and Hazelwood?
Huge. Yeah, two of our best players.
Yeah, massive. Yeah,
massive.
Let's talk betting. Let's talk first test betting.
Yeah, right. Well, let's move to that. And what would you say is your head-to-head play in the first test?
Well, I've got a pre-game play, and that's I'm going to bat the draw, even though it's one from 47. I think I'm going to back the draw so I can lay it back shorter on the exchange. So it's about $15, $16 at the moment. Reason being, one, the Australian bowling attack is a bit weaker, and two, I think it'll be flat deck. So at $15 or $16, at some point, and I don't know when that'll be, I'll trade out and have a nice little green book. The other thing I'm going to do is whoever bowls, I'm going to bet against as well. So if Australia win the toss and bat, I'm going to lay England.
Okay.
So I'll back the draw then, and I'll lay England, and then because I think whoever gets, I think another play, which I'm not going to do, but overruns in the first innings as well, especially after your stats there, Jai, with the things. I think whoever bats, I think they might get overruns. So if England bat, I'd lay Australia as well because they diminished bowling attack. So I think those are the two from just a pure trading. I love trading on the test cricket and getting a position, getting on the fair and getting a position.
You're going to look at the pitch before you do all that because you're presuming they're going to produce a flat one, right?
How often have you heard, this is a complete road and they come out and the ball swings around and all this?
Correct. So you want to back the draw?
Yeah, I do.
Right. Even though you just said how many times you heard it's a complete road and then they come out and they just roll them on the first day and then the draw is
That's me saying away. It's a road. That's not Tony Greig putting the key in.
Tony Greig.
The late, great Tony Greig.
One of the greats.
But do you think the draw trade shorter than $16 in this match or to go 16 just to
no,
straight
no,
out?
I just like looking at the pitch before I do anything. I don't like just making a call based on what I think might happen. That's all. I'd like to do a bet, have a bet. But the draw
but,
can be
but often you look at it and it doesn't
day.
Play the
draw
way.
It can be 80s yeah, after yeah, one yeah. day in cricket.
So what on. Is your play on the first test?
Well, I haven't looked into it properly because these two are just way
You're
too
sick
good
for a favourite. He'll be straight on Australia.
I'm not. No, I don't. As I said, I'm going to watch and see what's happening. I'm going to see what happens with the coin toss. I'm going to see what the pitch looks like and then I'll make a call from there. But I think people getting carried away. Australia and Australia are extremely hard to beat. I'm not super keen to back England, I've got to say.
Uncle Mal, what's your play in the first test, mate?
First test, I'm going to be on England. I think there's a bit of value there. I think no Cummins, no Hazelwood, huge losses. Stark needs to lead the attack. He can be a little bit inconsistent sometimes.
Sure.
Boland, I think he's a great bowler, but I hope that England haven't worked him out from what I saw when they played against him in England. Obviously, different conditions here, but he's going to need to step up. And obviously, there's a few question marks around our top order. Usman Khawaja, the quicker the bowling gets at the moment, he looks all at sea. So Smith might be in early and they might be able to break through the top order. But I think Smith needs to score all the runs basically for us.
You're betting early or you're going to wait for the toss?
No, I'm going to bet early.
Just straight
260, in. 260, I'm in.
I'm going to stay with you. Let's talk series winner. What's your play for the series?
Well, I took a bit of 380 England. I thought that was a big price. I think they're about $3 now. But I think it could be a drawn series. I think it'll be 2-2.
Yeah.
There'll be a washout somewhere in there, probably in Sydney. Just off this, I just think that England have the advantage now in the first test where Australia usually do because we don't have our two quicks. Usually you'd say Australia win in Perth, but I think this is more of a coin flip in Perth now. And then England are more suited in Adelaide and Sydney, especially Adelaide now because it's gone back to a day game. It's not a day-night game anymore, so the pitch will be flatter, will be more batter-friendly. I think they could really get away with it with the baz ball there. So I'm writing those two down to England, sort of, you know, Adelaide and Sydney. And then Brisbane, obviously, Australia are the best pink ball team in the world. They're playing in Brisbane, so that's advantage Australia there. And the MCG, Australia will be suited if they prepare the pitches the way they have in the last few years with a bit of spice. So I've sort of got it like, I've sort of got England winning in Perth, then I think Sydney might be a washout, so it'll be sort of 2-2 in my opinion. $9 if you want to chime in.
Fantastic. Fizzo, what's your series?
Great job. Yeah, just Australia, mate. Australia and Australia. Thank you.
King Zone,
you're sick for a favour. I just said that. Australia 3-1.
Australia 3-1. Oh, sorry, mate. All right.
3-1.
Oh, right, Australia.
So we've got some good momentum up, so we're going to finish off. This is the fun part because we'll get some juicy odds about this. Can you please say your overall series leading wicket taker and leading run scorer? This is for both teams. What are your plays?
Well, I think Mitch Stark with Cummins and Hazelwood out for the first test. I think Stark will probably play all five and the pitches will suit him and he's clear. I think he's about $3.50 around that. He's my pick for the top wicket taker. The top run score, I'm going Uzi, $13. Uzi.
That's good.
Yeah, it's going to be his last Ashes series. He's a champion batsman here. He's going to fire up. He's going to find some form, and I'm all over Uzi.
Love it. Can I please get your two selections? Fizz up.
I'm going to agree with Kings. I think Stark's the one because of the bowling changes in the Australian squad. Listen to what Malvin said. He's got the pink ball test in front of him too, and you know how he bowls when he's got the pink ball in his hand. So I'm going to go Starkey, and Kings is dead set in Disneyland. He thinks Uzi's going to be top run scorer.
Never count out a champion.
First ever.
Smith from head for me, but Smith is the leading run scorer. Captain of Australia this time in.
Which is great to see.
Depends whether Cummins comes back, but I think he'll step up, and I think we'll see Smith have a very big summer.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm with Mitchell Stark for pretty much the same reasons.
That could be half a moral.
Nah, well, he's going to play all the tests. You'd think he's going to have to lead the attack. He gets the pink ball in Brisbane. He's the best pink ball bowler in the world, bar none. And then Steve Smith, 3,417 runs at 56 with 12 tons against England. He's going to have to be the man. If Australia are to win the series, he needs to score 3 or 4 tons.
To who goes good, and if he wasn't batting so far down, I would have picked him, is Travis Head. Very, very good batsman.
Yeah, he's just been a little bit off for the last couple of years. I think they've sort of worked him out a little bit, especially India. But, yeah, I think he's a great batsman and he can really apply the pressure back to England. But, yeah, I'm with Smith.
Uncle Mel, thank you for your preparation. You've enlightened us all.
No worries. Let's go, Australia.
Let's go. The summer of cricket here. Summer racing is here. We love it. We're going to share it with all of you. Up the den. Thank you for the support. See you soon.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.